Amen. Well, welcome to the house of the Lord once again. If you have your Bibles, would you open up to the book of Psalms, Psalm 150. How many love the book of Psalms? Amen. We love the whole book, the whole Bible. We find life in the Psalms. Psalm 150 reads, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." A familiar psalm, Psalm 150. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Let all things praise the Lord. This is how this book closes off, and it's only fitting and it's only right. You see, for the believer, praise becomes lifestyle. For the believer, praise is lifestyle. It goes beyond the confines of these four walls. It's just not restricted to here. It's not just something we do on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Monday night or a Tuesday night. Praise becomes lifestyle. It is also what we do in here when we come in on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or another time during the week. For the believer, praise is lifestyle. Every breath is praise. Every step is praise. Every conversation is praise. Every act, praise. Our sleeping, our waking, our working, our living, praise. That's the kind of life we've been welcomed into, and that's the kind of life we've entered into. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 150, verse 1, praise ye the Lord. You see, praise gives real meaning to life and all things pertaining to life. It changes the way you work at your place of occupation when you realize that even your work is an offering of praise. It changes the way you speak and the way you converse when you realize that even your conversation, every conversation, is praise. Or it falls short of praise. But the commission is that we would be a people of praise in all things. You see, we were created to praise. It's in us. The thing is, unlocking it can sometimes be a real issue. We were all created to praise. We were all created to lift up our God, to worship our God, to bless his name and magnify his name and glorify his name. Beyond this place and in this place, just like Psalm 150 declares and calls us. But sometimes unlocking praise can be a real issue. It applies to in here, but it also applies to out there. An excerpt from the Voice translation reads, "If Psalm 150 is any indication, then the worship of the one true God ought to be full of life and energy. Consider what it must have looked like and sounded like in those days. Voices lifted, shouting for joy, trumpets blaring, stringed instruments playing, people dancing, pipes humming, tambourines keeping rhythm, cymbals crashing. There are times when worship ought to break out in joy. It is possible that our worship is too quiet, too reserved, too structured." This doxology not only closes book 5, but it also closes the entire book of Psalms. Up until now, the songs in this book have reminded us of all the reasons we should praise God. Some songs have even commanded us to praise him. But this closing remark takes the command to praise one step further. Everything alive, humans, animals, and heaven's creatures must praise him. Praise is what God created us to do. It's one of our highest purposes in life. So it is no wonder that the longest book of the Bible is purely devoted to helping us do just that. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Psalm 150, verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. The word breath, every breathing thing. It also speaks of spirit, inspiration, and soul. You see, no one should be left out. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. No one should be left out. Nothing should be left out. Not one. Verse 6 in the Voice, it reads, no one should be left out. Let every man and every beast, every creature that has breath, has the breath of the Lord. Praise the eternal. Praise the eternal. How about everything that has inspiration? How about every gifting? How about every business? How about every relationship, every activity, endeavor, undertaking, enterprise, mission, vision? Let everything, every living thing that hath breath, praise the Lord. That's the call and that's the commission. Nothing should be left out. When it comes to Jesus, we come to Him. We give our lives to Him. We are saved miraculously by His grace and His mercy. And when we come to Jesus, everything folds into praise. Everything takes on new purpose and new meaning. A marriage takes on new purpose and new meaning. Relationships take on new purpose and new meaning. Conversations, thought life, our recreations, our entertainment, it all takes on new purpose and new meaning, or at least it should. Because our life, our ambition, our goal is now to lift up our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who was lifted up for us. When we come to Jesus, everything folds into praise. Charles Spurgeon said these words, "Doth not all nature around me praise God? If I were silent, I should be an exception to the universe. Doth not the thunder praise Him as it rolls like drums in the march of the God of armies? Do not the mountains praise Him when the woods upon their summits wave in adoration? Doth not the lightning write His name in letters of fire? Hath not the whole earth a voice? And shall I, can I, silent be?" What keeps us from praise? What has us left out? Perhaps it's that we don't know God. Or is it that we're so focused on what we don't have rather than on the incredible blessing we do? Watchman Nee said these words, "If we just had more revelation of what we already have, there would be far less prayers and far more praise." What has us left out? Is it what we're facing? What we're going through? Or the weapons formed against us? Or an excuse like, "It's not my personality," or something else? What has us left out? Charles Spurgeon said, "Praise is the rehearsal of our eternal song. By grace we learn to sing, and in glory we continue to sing. What will some of you do when you get to heaven if you go on grumbling all the way? Do not hope to get into heaven in that style, but now begin to bless the name of the Lord." Some of us are so focused, we can all fall into the trap. Focused on the pressures, focused on the trial, focused on the circumstance, focused on the economic situation, focused on the reports, focused on what we don't have. We look at our life and we are so blessed. And oftentimes we're not counting the blessing and therefore turning everything to praise, but instead we're grumbling and complaining about what we don't have. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. No matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, our God is so worthy of praise. And if we would catch a revelation of the reality of how awesome our God is, nothing, no one would be able to stop our praise. You think of how quickly our praise can be shut up, capped, the well. For some, it's slow. It's like that lid creeps over. And for others, it doesn't take much. For some, they endure for a while, and all of a sudden, they give in. And for others, it doesn't take much. But God is calling us to live a life where that well of praise is wide open. No matter what we're facing, you see, our victory is in praise. Our purpose is in praise. Our life is in praise. If we would only understand that, breakthrough is on the other side of praise. It causes us to climb. It's like a ladder, and we break through the clouds into an atmosphere that's far beyond where normal people live. Although for the Christian, that is supposed to be the normal reality. Praise ye the Lord. There's such freedom in praise. There's such life in praise. There's such joy in praise. There's such belonging in praise. There's such meaning in praise. There's such peace in praise and comfort in praise and inspiration in praise. I would exhort the church tonight, whatever it is that has us left out needs to be left behind. Whoever it is that has us left out needs to be ignored. We're called to praise, to lift him up. Whether it blesses us or not, and we know it does. But you see, he's so worthy. He is so worthy of all praise. Psalm 150, the voice reads, praise the eternal. Praise the true God inside his temple. Praise him beneath massive skies. Under moonlit stars and rising sun, praise him for his powerful acts, redeeming his people. Praise him for his greatness that surpasses our time and understanding. Praise him with the blasts of trumpets high into the heavens, and praise him with harps and lyres and the rhythm of tambourines skillfully played by those who love and fear the eternal. Praise him with singing and dancing. Praise him with flutes and strings of all kinds. Praise him with crashing cymbals, loud clashing cymbals. No one should be left out. Let every man and every beast, every creature that has the breath of the Lord praise the eternal. Praise the eternal. You know, when we come in on a Sunday morning or Sunday night, no one should be left out. I understand that people come in that don't really know the Lord or don't have the revelation yet. But our praise can be the revelation as we lift up our God, as we exalt his name and magnify him and tell of his wonders. And sing aloud with hearts on fire, bursting with gratitude. Bursting. It seems to me that praise has some volume to it. When we read Psalm 150, it seems it has some volume to it. It's loud and it's weighty. It's audible and it's visible. What cause for praise? What cause we have for praise? We have so many reasons to praise. The very fact that we're welcomed into right relationship with God should cause us to praise. And that reality wouldn't be stripped away by some little circumstance or some conversation or someone's discouraging word or a negative number in the bank account. These things should never stand in the way of praise. Head to church and the drive wasn't so great. You got cut off and we know how it is. It's a real struggle, the first song or two. Set it aside. Don't let it rob you of the moments of encounter with God Almighty. Don't let it ruin your day, the things you face in the morning. Don't let it ruin your day and strip your day of praise. Turn your praise into something else. Turn your work ethic into something else. Turn your responses into something else. We're called to praise. God's looking down. He's receiving praise. Every stroke of the shovel, every stroke of a paintbrush, he's receiving praise. All things are unto him. We exist to lift him up. Take a look at what you do have. Rather, take a look at whom you have. Take a look at who's on your side and who's fighting your battles and standing with you. Who's with you in the valley of the shadow of death? Prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies, who anoints your head with oil, causes your cup to overflow. See, so often our eyes are on other things and we're walking through that valley, whatever that valley is, the shadow of death or something else. And there we are, and we're focused on those things rather than who it is with us. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Set your gaze on him. I want to share a lengthy excerpt from a message from the late Dr. S.M. Lockridge, a pastor from San Diego, California. He said these words in a sermon in Detroit in 1976. Some of you will be familiar with these words. It's a famous portion of his message. My king was born a king. He was born king. The Bible says he's a seven-way king. He's the king of the Jews. That's an ethnic king. He's the king of Israel. That's a national king. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. Now that's my king. Well, I wonder if you know him. Do you know him? Don't try to mislead me. Do you know my king? David said, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. My king is the only one of whom there are no means of measure that can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of the shore of his supplies. No barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. He is enduringly strong. He is entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. That's my king. He's God's son. He's the sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He's honest. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. He's the grandest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem in higher criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of historic theology. He's the carnal necessity of spiritual religion. That's my king. I mean, somebody's got to praise him, right? He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. He's the only one able to supply all your needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He's the almighty God who guides and keeps all his people. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent and he beautifies the meek. That's my king. I ask tonight in this place and beyond, what has you left out? What has us left out? And he continues, the pastor continues. He says, do you know him? Well, my king is a king of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislature. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the King of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I mean, come on, these are some words. What do we have to say about our king, about our Lord, about our Savior, about our God? He goes on. He says his office is manifold. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. That's my king. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible and he is irresistible. I'm coming to tell you this, that the heavens of heavens can't contain him, let alone some man explain him. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off your hands. You can't outlive him and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out that they couldn't stop him. Come on. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree about him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. That's our king, church. That's the God we serve. He goes on and he says he's always there, and he's always been, and he always will be. I'm talking about the fact that he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. There's nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. Come on. That's my king. That's my king. You see, you can't impeach the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he is not about to resign the throne. He reigns and he rules. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Well, all the power belongs to my king. We're around here talking about black power and white power and green power, but in the end, all that matters is God's power. Thine is the power, yea, and the glory. We try to get prestige and honor and glory for ourselves, but the glory is all his. Yes, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. How long is that? Forever and ever and ever and ever. And when you get through with all of your evers, then amen. That's our king. I don't know what kind of king you've been serving or what kind of king you thought he was. But wow, what a list. What a confession. Are you still left out? Are you still left? What has you left out? What has us left out of praising him in here and out there, praising him in here and praising him out there? You see, some of us, we might have the praise down in here, but it's not really taking effect, and therefore we don't have the praise down out there. And it might be vice versa. We live right and we are praising him with actions out there, but we come in and we have no action or reaction in here. We have no voice. We have no song. We have no dance. We have no joy. We're in his presence. But there ain't much there. And we could sit here tonight and we could debate about the 9 expressions of worship in the house of God and whether they're right or not. But all I know is when I read the Psalms, there ain't no other way to praise. Praise is loud. And praise is visible. Praise is weighty. Praise is strong. Praise breaks through. What has you left out? What has you left out? How about our relationships? How about your marriage, your parenting, your finances, your business, your entertainments, your speech, your physical body, and the expressions like we just talked about, built into us by the divine creator? Praise expressions that are not far from every one of us, but are in fact the very means by which we slip into our proper function. Is it our circumstances? Trial? Our discouragement? Our short-sighted understanding? Persecution? Wrongful accusation? We'll cook his goose. Believe it or not, that phrase originated as a reference to a man whose last name means in his native language, goose, John Huss. He was literally cooked, burned at the stake. But in being cooked, he lit a fire of both nationalism and church reform. Huss, sick and physically wasted by long imprisonment, illness, and lack of sleep, protested his innocence and refused to renounce his alleged errors unless he could be shown otherwise from Scripture. To the council, he said, "I would not, for a chapel full of gold, recede from the truth. I will gladly die." Formally condemned, he was handed over to the secular authorities to be burned at the stake. On the way to the place of execution, he passed by a churchyard and saw a bonfire of his books. He laughed and told the bystanders not to believe the lies circulated about him. Arriving at the place of execution, he was asked by the empire's marshal if he would finally retract his views. Huss replied, "God is my witness that the evidence against me is false. I have never thought nor preached except with one intention of winning men, if possible, from their sins. Today I will gladly die." The fire was lit. As the flames engulfed him, Huss began to sing in Latin a Christian chant, "Christ, thou Son of the living God, have mercy upon me." You see, it's how David Platt put it. The martyrs knew that the fires they endured were nothing like the fires they deserved. The things we face in this life, they're small. They may seem like they're big, but let's get eternally minded. It's so easy for us to slip to a different mind state, mindset. I can't help but think of myself, put myself in this man's shoes. Here I am, going to the stake. Everything I've worked for, everything I've written is burned. I'm an outcast. Nobody's standing with me. I'm called to recant, pack it in. It's incredible, but there he is. We'll cook the goose. Literally cooked. And he's singing praise. You see, he knew that the fires he endured were nothing like the fires he deserved. We always have reason to praise. No matter what kind of fires we're enduring right now, and if that's what's got you left out, set your mind back on God and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and what he's done for you and how he's lifted you and how he's set you free from the power of sin and death, how he's stripped off the grave clothes and broken every chain off your life. Such wonderful things. That should always give us reason to dance and shout, clap our hands, be filled with joy, overflowing with worship, overflowing with praise. You know, I've talked to some people, they say they don't dance. They dance behind closed doors. Some people say they don't sing. We know that their steering wheel in their car testifies against them. Some people say they ain't into music, and every red light photo ticket you've ever got testifies against you. Some people say they don't shout, and again, we all shout. We clap. Why is it sometimes when we come into church, it's the quietest place? You see, Martin Luther said, where God would build a church, there the devil would build a chapel. God's place was always meant to be loud. God's praise was meant to be audible. I don't know if you find comfort in the other Psalms where it's all, you know, trying to figure things out and weeping and why you should praise and maybe commanding you to praise, but I mean, you're not even at Psalm 51 yet, and so you're trying to figure it all out. But all of a sudden you get to Psalm 150, and what does it say? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So we're not changing the Bible. We're not cutting that out of the book. That's what it says. We either choose to fall in line with that and give our lives to it and experience the blessing of it, or we rob ourselves and we rob God. What has you left out? Is it fear of man? Does that have me left out? See, I know young people struggle with that. I remember being in youth group, and there's fear of man. Like, what are they going to think if I dance? I mean, we all do the Pentecostal two-step anyways, most of us in here. But what are they going to think if I dance? Or what are they going to think if I sing too loud? I'm going to sing off key, and so we're quiet. Or what if I clap? Am I going to be the only one? And so we wait for others to maybe go forward. Or we slip out of church and say, sorry, God. And then we lift our voice. What has us left out? Is it fear of man? Don't fear man. Fear God. Don't worry what others are going to think. Is it pride? Does that have me left out? Pride's quite the enemy, isn't it? It's a tough one. Is it upbringing? Does that have me left out? You see, maybe you're taught something else or showing something else, but let's let the Word of God instruct us. Let's let the Holy Book instruct us, not some former religion that we were brought up in that said, you lift your hands, Johnny, and you're getting a slap. Don't you sing too loud. Don't dance. Don't make a disruption. Don't make a scene. See, what has us left out? It's real hard to let go of tradition, isn't it? Some of us, that's what's got us bound up. Years down the road, and it's still ingrained in us. It's like, this is the way I do church, quiet and somber. Well, that's not the way God does church. I wonder if you're at the same service he is. Because he's here full of life and energy. I'm glad that he's not quiet and somber in my face. I'm glad that he doesn't come in and go like, okay, this is the kind of service we're going to have. It's going to be real quiet, and you know, I'm not going to do too much, and I'm just going to deal with what I've got going on here, and we'll just let the people do the work. I mean, he's here. He's ready to pour out. He's here ready to lavish us. His love and his mercy and his grace and his abundance. And sometimes we come in and we're so distracted and focused on what we don't have rather than what we do have and whom we have. Sometimes we spend the whole service asking him for things. That ain't praise. God, give me a new car. That ain't praise. God, fix my bank account. That ain't praise. I'm sorry to tell you. If you thought that was praise, that ain't praise. I mean, you don't go to your wife and say, cook me dinner. I praised you. And she's like, thank you for the compliment. I mean, unless she's an amazing cook. I saw some people just pat their wife. That was awesome. You earned all the points. I mean, it's in church too, so it's over the top. It's divine. Is it lack of understanding? I just simply say tonight, not anymore. I don't know what more you need. You don't need a Bible class, although that'd be a good idea. You don't need to research it. We just did. Psalm 150. Psalm 150, verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Let's have the worship team return tonight. Let's praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Why don't we stand? I just simply want to challenge us tonight to be our real selves. The reality of what God truly created us to be, and that's a people of praise. It might be the praise in here. or it might be the praise out there. I don't know what it is tonight. But everything is supposed to be offered to him as praise. That he would be exalted in all things. I mean, when we play sports, wow, that's a tough one, right? He's exalted. When we're hanging out with others, he's exalted. When we watch something, just think about it, that he's exalted. That he's okay with it. Hey, Jesus, you okay with the show? Just a thought. You okay with this record? You okay with this book? You okay with this conversation? Just a thought. Everything poured out. Everything. Just love that quote. If I don't praise him, it's like I'm the exception to the universe. Because I was created to praise. Whatever it is that has us left out, I just want to encourage us tonight to leave it behind. Leave it behind. I don't know what it is. Leave it behind. We've touched on many areas tonight. God's just saying, leave it behind once and for all. You see, we can choose to leave it behind right now and walk out the door, and we didn't really leave it behind. We just tucked it in our pocket. There's a difference. I'm not saying we need to respond tonight and come to an altar. That's not the point. God's everywhere in this room. We might need to come. That might be where we need to do business with God. It's a step. But every one of us, we truly know if we've chosen not to be left out. Not to be left out. I'm just going to lift this up. Just allow the Lord to work on you and work in you. Just begin to lift him up. Pour out your praise. Pour out your heart, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yeah, Jesus.